So today's daf is Pei Tes, so we'll take it from the bottom of Pei Ches and Beis, though. Two dafs, the Mishnah quotes, Sricha get mizeh. So the case was where the husband went overseas, and Eid Echad tells her, oh, your husband dies. She goes ahead and gets married. Her husband shows up, he never died. So the Mishnah paskin that she has to get a divorce from her first husband and a divorce from her second husband. So says the Gemara, Bishma Mirishon Tibai get. I understand why she requires a get from the Rishon, from the first husband, because since she was with another man, she's now usher to her second husband. Wasn't she honest? We learned already that she's not considered honest because she really should have done her research. She didn't do the proper research. She was incorrect in getting remarried, so she becomes usher to her first husband. Can't stay married, needs a divorce. The second husband was never a husband. Since she's already an Ashishish, she can't get married. Even if she attempts to, the marriage is not going to be chal. So there's never a marriage in the first place. You certainly don't need a get to end it, but there's nothing to end. So why do you need a get from the second husband or supposed husband? So Amar Rav Huna, Grizera, Shema Yomu Girish Zeh, V'nasa Zeh, V'nimtas Ashishish, Yotzi Bloger. There's a Gzera, what's going to happen? Peter can say, wait a second, wasn't she married to the second guy? And she just left this relationship without a get, and she could go ahead and then marry, go back to marrying the first person. It doesn't make any sense. So look at Rashi at the bottom, three lines up, Gzeira Shema Yomru. Rashi explains, Kishiro and Harishon Chai, when they see that first husband was actually alive, Svurin Shesheni Zer Kishinasa Aideshe Girsha Rishon Nasa. People are going to say, wait a second, wasn't she married to the second guy? That means she probably divorced the first husband. And then she got married to the second husband. That's what they're going to think. They're not going to know that he was overseas and he was testified to be had died. So they're going to think she got divorced from the first husband, married the second guy, and she's a shkumurhi. V'motzia shlo baget. Now, if we make the second guy, who they think is a real marriage, just lets her off without a get, nimtzas eishes ish yatsa b'lo get. And we don't want people to think you could just end a relationship without a get. So that's why they say, oh, take a get from the second husband, lest people think that it was a real marriage in the first place. Mara says, Ihachi, that's the case. And people think that's what exactly happened. So Seifa, look at the Seifa of the Mishnah. Dekasani, Amrula meis balecha av niskadsha, v'acharkach babala, mutar slachsala. So it says, if they tell her husband died, she goes ahead and performs kedushin, not nisum, but kedushin, she engages with another man. And then the initial husband shows up, she's mutted to be back with the first husband. So Hasam Nami, why not say Nema Girishev Kitashev and Imsus Ashishoti Bishal Baget? Why not require a second get from the second husband? Yes, it doesn't work because her first husband's alive, but people are gonna say, wasn't she engaged to the second person? How could she just leave the second husband? She must need a get. Why not require get in that second scenario? So Gemara says Liolim be get. You do need a get, you really do need a get in the second case. So if you require a get now in the second from the second husband in both scenarios, so wait a second. So it's going to look like she was machzir grushaso, which is what? We know what really happened was she was married to the first husband and she never got married to the second husband. Even though she tried, she's really mutter. We are right now trying to accommodate the people's perceptions. So people think that she got divorced from the first husband, even though that didn't happen. But people think she got divorced from the first husband, got married to the second husband, and now she's going back to the first husband. So she has to first end that relationship that doesn't exist with the second husband with a get. But another problem is going to be, it's if that's what people think, she, after leaving the second husband, she goes back to her first husband, that's an iser machzir kushal. So you can't remarry your husband if you were married to someone else in the middle. So the Gemara says, it's an issue of mishan isarsa, only a situation where she got engaged only to the second husband. And that's not iser machzir kushal, so according to Rabbi Yossi ben Kifar. The only time it's iser of machzir grushaso is if it's a grusha from a marriage. If it's a grusha simply from erusin, that will not asa her to her first husband. So then the Gemara says, "Hamid tikasani sefer from the sefer of the Mishnah again." Afal pi shenasan laachron get lo pasam nakuna. So even though in the second case where it was only erusin alone, where she engaged with the second husband. So even if the second husband gives her a get, she will not be pasul to a kohen. She's not considered a grusha. Michlal de lo bai get. It sounds like you do not require get in the second case. We wanted to explain before, Einach Hanami, she does need a get when she engages a second husband. Again, scenario being, her husband overseas, she's told that he dies. She gets engaged to another husband, engaged, not married. And then her husband shows up. She's allowed to go back to her first husband. But we just explained that's only a situation where the second husband gave her a get. Even though they're engaged, the second husband gives her a get. But then the Mishnah goes on to say that this wife will not be pasul to kuna. She will not be considered a grusha. So it sounds like that there's no get, because if there was a get, then she would be pasul to the kuna.
The first one is back.
But no, let's say her husband dies. Her first husband dies now. Okay. And she wanted to get married to Cohen. Since she once was a grusha in a previous marriage, so she should be pasul to a Cohen.
From the second one.
The second one.
Meaning he really died. He didn't come back. She got engaged.
Right. Let's say her husband comes back.
So she's married.
And then the husband dies. So now she's single.
Ah.
She wants to remarry a Cohen.
So she's almana now.
She's not, but she's also grusha because she got divorced from the second husband.
It's only able sin.
But still, who said that's not considered a grusha? It's considered a grusha. No, it's still considered a grusha for being pasul to a Cohen. So the fact that's the good question. The Gemara says the fact that she is kasher l'kahuna tells us that she does not receive a get from the second husband. That's the Gemara's question.
But the second husband is not really get a marriage because it's getting the first one is alive.
Right, so
it doesn't have that status of maybe
it's
formality, but
it's a get midirabanan. You don't really midiraisa. You don't require a get because it's not a marriage. Ein hachanami. So Rashi points this out. Rashi says, because look at Rashi, Mechlal de lo bai get. You don't need a top Rashi, you don't need a get. Afil midirbanan, you don't need a get. Because di bai get, if you require a get, even if they get midirbanan, they require one. Hakaim lan dafil reach a get pasal lakuna. Even the smell of a get, it's a particular case. Just a smell of a get, certainly a required dirabanan get, that will disqualify her from marrying a Cohen. The fact that we permitted her to marry a Cohen tells us that the second husband does not require to give her a get at all. A question to what we said before. So again, the Gemara says, "Dibai get, if you do require get, am I lo pasul minakuna, then why would she not be pasul takuna? Of course she should be pasul lakuna. It must be that you do not require get when she gets engaged only to the second husband. So ela seifa amri kedusha ta'osavi. So the reason why in the seifa they don't require a get is because people are going to say, it's clear that if the husband shows up, it must have been a mistake. That they're going to realize that the second husband that she married was clearly a kedusha ta'os, and it just gets thrown out the door. There's no kedusha, there's no need for get. And therefore, everything's good. So if people are going to simply say it's a kedusha betalos, so then reishanami, why not in the first case where she actually marries a second husband? Also, people should just say, oh, the first husband showed up. It must be that the second marriage was a mistake and there's no need for anything. So the Gemara says, nisui tayhavi, reishanami, I mean nisui tayhavi. So the Gemara says, kansura banan. They made a knas. In the first case where she went ahead and get married based on eid echad, penalized her because she shouldn't have got married. She should have, based on one aid, she should have done her research. One aid's not enough. One aid's enough to get the ball rolling, but you have to do some of your own research. Since she didn't do the proper research, then she's going to be penalized and she's going to require a get and pasul lakuna. So Gemara says, wait a second, if there's a kanas, seifa nami lakanasu, they also penalize her in the second case that she got engaged to the second husband, she should have done her research. Reisha davdidi sura kansua, the reisha where she actually got married and there was zanus, the relations, that they penalized her. Say for the law of the Isra, there's no Isra, they only got engaged, there's no relations yet. Lo kansur ban, there the Chacham didn't feel the need to penalize her, and therefore they don't require get in the second case. Okay, now the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Ein laksuva. The case was, the husband shows up, she does not get a ksuva from both parties, not from her first husband, not from her second husband. My time, what's the reason she doesn't get a ksuva? Takin l'rabanan ksuva was the reason why, in general, Chachamim gave a woman a ksuva. We don't want her to be viewed as a piece of meat, chas v'shalom, to just get divorced right away. The husband has to realize that if he divorces her, he has a monetary responsibility, at least, to pay. So he's not going to just send her off. Remember, you have a responsibility, you're a grown man, and if you have to send her off, you're going to pay money. But that's only to make her be viewed as the proper kavod. In this case, we want her to be viewed as nothing in his eyes. We want him to divorce her in this case because she's usher to both the first man and to the second man. So therefore, she loses the ksuba, and that hopefully will be just change their relationship, the dynamic, and force him to divorce her. Ein la peiros v'lo mizonos v'lo bulal. She also doesn't get the fruit. She doesn't get supported by him, and she doesn't get those cloths that we spoke of. So why not those? Tanai ksuba ki ksuba dami. These are stipulations, these are part of the ksuva, they have the same status as the ksuva. So just like she doesn't get the ksuva, she doesn't get all these other benefits as well. Not la mizeh mizeh. Let's say she collects the stuff from them anyways. The halacha was that she has to pay them back, right? I think that's what it said.
Yeah.
So why is that? Pshita, it's obvious. We already said she doesn't get rights to anything. So she goes ahead and steals the ksuva, the money, the property. You would think she could keep it. Of course she can't keep it. Of course the Mishnah tells us it turns it. The Mishnah seems to be completely unnecessary to tell us that halacha. The Gemara says, Mal disema, what would you have thought? Came into tafsa l'mafkinle. Maybe since she's tofis it, you really shouldn't have to take it out of her hands, because really, I guess, does Rashi explain this a little bit further? No, Rashi doesn't really explain this. The Gemara doesn't explain what the Havamin is. Just because she took it, why should, if a ganav goes ahead to your property and takes your money, oh, maybe he should keep it because he took it away. We don't say that. There has to be some good claim that she has, that if she took it b'dievet, she may be able to keep it. So I'm not sure what the Havamin is.
What's that? I mean, she needs to bring it back.
Right, that the Aruch Lanier also has a problem here. Again, the Havamin is that if she took it, she could keep it. Kamash Lan, she has to return it. So the Havamin doesn't make so much sense. Why would she?
She needs to give it back.
No, I know, that's the answer. But that's obvious. Of course she has to give it back.
Okay.
So Gemara says, why is the Mishnah teaching this obvious thing? If a ganav takes something from your property, of course I need to return it. The Mishnah doesn't have to tell me that. So Gemara said there's some Havamina, which the Gemara doesn't really explain, that if she took it, maybe she'd be allowed to keep it. Maybe she would be if she took it b'dievid. You're right, we don't allow her to in the first place, but if she took it, maybe she could keep it. Kamash Lan, she can't keep it.
It's just confusing too, even the translation. It says, Tashlum shelechad michovot. Chovot is debt. If she took one of the guy's debts, then she can keep it.
No, but he owes her money. It's a chov that he has to her. So since it's a chov, even though the Chum said you can't collect the Chov anymore, really, the husband owes her all these things. Chum came along and says, you don't owe her anymore. But since it one time existed, this obligation to her, maybe she's allowed to, b'dievet, if she takes it, maybe she could hold on to it. Because it once was a collection of hers. Kamashlan, even b'dievet, she has to return it. Something like that. Then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Havlad Mamzer. The child of the second husband and the child from the first husband, if she stays married to the first husband, will be considered a mamzer.
Meaning, what do you mean with the first husband? Meaning she got pregnant and he left?
Let's say she got pregnant from the second husband. That child would be a mamzer because she's really an ashesish.
What about the first one?
So the first husband, we said, is a mamzer with their button. The Rashi, I think, Al Mishnah explained.
The one that already exists is a mamzer?
No. That one already existed.
Oh, after he comes back.
And she doesn't get divorced.
Ah.
So it's a mamzer with their button, I believe. So Gemara quotes from a Mishnah now, the Mishnah that's found in the Maseches Trumos. It's not Hasam. The Mishnah tells us, Ein tormin min hatamei al hatar. When it comes to taking truma, one cannot, let's say you have a pile of fruit that's tamei, a pile of fruit that's tahor. So you cannot take truma from the tamei fruit to exempt the tahor fruit. So if you do that, the Mishnah says, Im tarum b'shogeg, if accidentally you took the tamei apples to matir the other tahor truma, Chumas or Chuma, it's a good Chuma. So what happens is, the Kohen loses out, because all my fruit here is Tamei and Tahor. I've mixed Tamei and Tahor. I give the Kohen Tamei fruit, and everything else is now mutter to eat, and even the Tahor stuff is mutter for me to eat. Now the Kohen gets stuck with Chuma, but it's Tamei Chuma. He can't eat the Tamei Chuma. He could burn it and use it for fuel, but he can't eat it. So he gets really not much. So L'chachila, one may not do this, but if he did do this B'shogeg, it's a good Chuma. Then the Mishnah says, "Bemazes, if he did this intentionally, he said, I'm not wasting, I don't want to keep the tamei fruit. I'm going to give the tamei fruit to the Kohen. If he does that, bemazed, lo asav lo klum, his chuma is ineffective." Okay. So the Gemara says now, "My lo asav lo klum." What does it mean that nothing happened? When he bemazed, he wanted to make chuma from the tamei fruit. What do you mean nothing happened? So Amar Rav Chista, lo asav lo klum kol ikar. What do you mean nothing happened? Dafilu hahu giruya. Even that piece of grain, whatever your fruit you're talking about, even that goes back to Tevel. Nothing was accomplished. You take some of the tamei apples, this is Truma, I'm doing this on purpose, it doesn't work, everything still remains Tevel. That's according to Rav Chista.
Before we give any Truma, it's Tevel.
Sorry?
Before we give any Truma, it's called
Tevel. Exactly. Once the farmer collects all the fruit and brings it into his house, this is Tevel, it's Aser to eat, it's a Chiv Misa. You have to take Truma to remove the Iser Tevel, exactly. Then that's according to Rav Chista. Rav Nosson Berebi Oshaya Amar, Lo Asav Lo Klum, What does it mean he didn't do anything? L'sakin es hashirayim. He didn't do anything to be matir the remaining fruit. Whenever you take truma, you've created truma, and that's one thing that happens. You have truma that goes to the kohen, and also you've matir now the tevel, the remaining, the shirayim fruit, is mutter to the farmer to eat. So you haven't fixed the shirayim. The shirayim still has an iser tevel on it about truma habit, but what you created is truma. So you have truma now of tamei fruits, but you still have to take more truma on the rest of the fruits. You have to take truma tahora. So that's what Rav Nassan explains. You have a created truma. So everybody agrees the shirayim is aser. The only question was, that which you created, is that considered truma, or that's not considered truma and goes back into the pile of teva? So Gemara explains further now, Rav Chista lomer k'Rabbi Nassan b'Rabbi Oshai. Rav Chista doesn't hold like Rabbi Nassan. He holds that the truma is not truma by temeya if done b'mezid. Why? Di amrs have a truma. If you are going to say this, these tame fruits are truma, zimnin de pasha v'mafresh. Sometimes a person's going to say, wait a second. I know the halacha says that if I take truma temeya, b'mezid, it's just tame fruit that a tame mace may have touched. It's tame. The objects are tame. So the guy's going to say, I separated truma temeya, and the halacha is that truma temeya stays tame. It stays truma. I give this to Cohen. Wait, so if this is truma, that probably means also my fruits, the rest of the fruits mutter, even though it's not, but they're going to think. Because it's hard to imagine, usually we have, whenever you've created truma, it always is matter the shirayim. Here suddenly we have this strange case that you've created truma, but at the same time the tevel still exists. People are not going to think that way. They're going to think, if I've created truma, it also means my tevel's mutter, and they're going to come to eat the fruit, which is actually going to be chiv misa of tevel. So it's hard to distinguish between these two situations. That's why Rav Chisda does not hold with Rabbi Nassan, Rabbi Oshai. So Gemara says, why does this differ from another Mishnah that's found in Maseches Shumos that tells us, Hatorim Kishos, a person is Torim, what's Kishos, cucumbers or something? Right, a person's Torim cucumbers. V'nimtes mar, turns out they're bitter. They went bad. Or Vatiach, or he's separating a watermelon. V'nimta saruach, and it turns out it's all went bad also. Truma, it's a good truma. V'yach sar v'yitrum. So he should go ahead and take truma again. So why by this case do we make a person take truma a second time? But the other case, we're concerned that person should not take truma a second time.
Because here, you can taste it, and it's bad. Over there...
Oh, no, that's going to be the answer already. You're going to jump to the answer.
No, I didn't see the answer.
You didn't see the answer? Oh, okay, you're suggesting on your own?
Yeah.
Oh, very good. So, so I'm not sure why you're allowed to taste it. It's still tevel. How do you taste it?
You don't taste it. The coin tastes it.
You take
truma. You give the truma, and it's bad. So eat it, it's bad.
So I will explain that as how it works. Very good. But let's just get this question clear for a second. So this is telling us that if a person does do this, he separates truma from the cucumbers or the watermelons, and it turns out it's sour. B'dieved, it's a good truma. So why, by this case here, would they say, according to at least Rav Oshaya, according to Rav Chisda rather, why would you say that it's no truma? If you take truma tamea, b'dieved, it doesn't work. You have to retake truma. Why is that the difference? The Gemara says, wait a second. Shogeg amazed karmas? You're not comparing apples to apples here. By the case of mazed, that's where Rav Chisda says you haven't created truma. By the case of Shogeg, the guy did it completely accidental, so we could allow the Chuma to remain as Chuma. Gemara explains further, Lo Avid Isura, sorry, Shogeg Mezid Karamis, Shogeg Lo Avid Isura, Mezid Kavid Isura. By the case of a Shogeg, he didn't do an Isser. But the case of Mezid, he did do an Isser. So therefore, what? If since by Shogeg he didn't do an Isser, we allow the Chuma to stay Chuma. But by the case of Mezid, where he violated Isser, then we don't allow the Truma to be Truma, I guess? Right, that's the point. We're going to get to your point of tasting it, by the way. Not there yet. So it explains further, if the guy did something but Mezid but Isser, so we're concerned that, wait a second, he's obviously not such a Yasher person. So if
he
we
won't
say
to... listen this second time in your weekend.
What?
He won't listen the second
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's not listening the second time, so we tell him that it's... by the Truma Temeah, he's created Truma. He's like, oh, okay, I'm going to just go forward. He doesn't care about the Tevel. The guy did it, but Shogeg, we're assuming he wants to do the proper thing. He just made a mistake. So we'll tell him, okay, what you did was Truma. And just do a Truma a second time. We're not going to assume that he's going to say, oh, since they're telling me this is Shogeg, that means everything else is Mutter. No, he wants to do the proper thing. That's why there's a difference between Shogeg and Mezid. So Gemara says, okay, fine. So let's compare apples to apples now. Let's compare Rami Shogig a Shogig. I'm going to bring another stira. One case is about Shogig, and the other case is about Shogig, and yet there's still a stira. Hacha katani b'shogig chuma sa chuma. We said here that a person b'shogig takes the chuma tmeya b'dievit it to a good chuma, but hasam over there katani chuma v'yachsi richum. By the case of shogig chuma tmeya, we allow everything to go fine. What he made it was chuma, and the tevel is also mutter. There's no need for a second round of chuma. But this case we just brought of the cucumbers and the watermelons, it's also shogig, but we do require him to take a second time of chuma. What's the difference? They're both the case of shogig. So Gemara says, no, as David was suggesting before, the Hasam shogig karv lemezid, there the case of the avatiach and the kishos is a shogig that's very close to being mezid. Why? The bailei lemitime, he asked he should have tasted it beforehand. The question, how do you taste it? It's tall tevil. How do you taste it? So you suggested he should take a little bit of chuma, give it to the kohen, tell me if it's good or not. If it's bad, spit it out and I'll do something else. So the Gemara says, that's not so right. Now, Tosos rather suggests something else. Look at Tosos on the bottom. It's a one-line Tosos. It's five lines up. Ibaile limitame. Yeah. Tosos writes, Kolomer yafrish al mashu mine, be kidei shiitom visulo. Separate some of it, and then take chuma from that small mount, and then you eat that small tevel that you permitted, and then taste it. And then you should taste it if it's sour.
Say it again.
So you should separate a little bit. Take a pile of the tevel, put the tevel on the side as a separate pile, I think. Of that tevel, take off a mount of chuma, which is going to be a very small mount. Then you've been matired the rest of the chuma for yourself, this pile, the rest of the pile.
You took some of the tevel, separate.
I took five apples on the side of the 100. I take one apple from this for chuma.
Yeah.
Now the four apples are mutter.
Okay.
I taste one of the apples. Yeah. If it's sour.
So if you're doing it with the whole pile. Now you have the whole pile. You put truma to whatever you need to put truma anyway. And you taste from the rest. If it's good, it's good. If it's not good, you know, this is not good too. Well, what difference between if it's small or big?
Right. I guess in theory you could probably do the whole thing also. I guess in theory you can. It might be a big process to do that. To take a whole big pile and count out, you know, 1/50.
Okay, that's a good point.
Right. Yeah. Okay. The Mar now on the bottom says, now let's ask a question.
So Rami, what Mar answer? How can you taste it?
That's Tosos explains.
Tosos explains.
Yeah,
that's
true. The Gemara doesn't explain how. Tosos explains the mechanism, how it's mutter to taste the tevel.
But if you separate the truma and it's sour or something like that, so now who owns it?
You do.
It sounds like that truma would go to the Kohen. That sour truma would go to the Kohen.
So that's why you would separate only one.
Uh-huh.
That's why I take a small pile, and you only lose the one apple.
Uh-huh, and that one apple goes to the Kohen, and then you'll find better fruit produce to separate the chuma to give to the Kohen. Because if you do the whole pile, you have so much now, it's chuma. Yeah. You have so much chuma to deal with here to give to the Kohen, so rather to take a small amount and only do a little bit to the Kohen to test it out on. But we don't want to give the chuma, the Kohen, the sour chuma.
Yeah.
So that's why you have the smaller pile, I guess.
And if it's not good, so the whole thing is not good. And if the whole thing is not good, that's what you have. What do you do?
Yeah, that's your produce. That's a tough year for you.
So you cannot eat it at all?
No, of course. You just take chuma from a different pile. You could take different piles of fruit together. You know, you have piles of cucumbers and there.
In order to, let's say the whole thing is bad. The whole thing is bad.
The whole thing's bad, and the whole thing's bad, then.
So you need to take
chuma. Right.
Even if it's bad, you just let him know.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's bad.
Right, exactly. If a guy has such a bad year, so this is the mazel for the year. But I guess we're assuming there's probably other piles that are better. I don't know how it works on farms. Okay, now the Gemara asks, Rami Mezid Amezid. Let's ask a steer from a case of Mezid where he intentionally did such a chuma, another case where he did with Mezid. When it comes to the chuma tamea, where he said intentionally, I'm taking the tamei fruits and making this chuma, I'm going to give the tamei chuma to the kohen. We said what you did was lo asa lo klum, was ineffective. We had two machlokas what that meant. Hasam tanan over there, another mission that's found in Masechet Shumos. Hatorim mishein nakuv, anakuv chuma v'yachse richum. What's the case of nakuv versus eno nakuv? So you have a flower pot, you have something growing, of grapes or olives, something growing in there. So it's not in the ground, it's above ground, it's a flower pot. If there's a hole, then there's the unica, there's drawing sustenance from the ground somehow through the air, even though we don't see it. I think, in I think we have this in science as well. What's it called, the study of plants? Botanics or something like that. So in that field of science, we know if there is a hole in the flower pot and there's dirt that's revealed, it's going to draw its nutrients from the ground. If it's a closed pot, let's say a plastic pot, it will not draw nutrients. It's completely separate from the ground.
Why it won't draw nutrients from on top of the thing? Because on top it's uncovered.
No, but it goes this way. It doesn't go like that.
Ah.
It goes like directly like that. It gets blocked
by
the plastic.
It's not mixed in the air. There was neutrons.
I guess not. So, but if it's like, I think if it's a kli cheres, if it's an earthenware pot, which has the same, of course, it comes from the ground, it will go through that earthenware. It has to be a plastic or metal pot. Exactly. It carries through. If it's a plastic or metal pot, it doesn't go through. It gets stopped. So if it's a anal knock, if it's a sealed off pot that's off the ground, that is not chai midiraisa. But if it's a knock, if there's a hole in it, if it's some of the dirt, it's yanginika, it's viewed as, even though it's not connected to the ground, there's a chai midiraisa of truman meiser. It's considered mechubal karka regarding hilchos zroim. So what happens is, let's say you take truma, something that does not have a hole, misha'enu nakav, a non-holed pot, to exempt fruit that grew from a whole pot, the pot with a hole in it, a perforated pot, I think they'll call it, probably. So then it would be a truma. What you've created was truma, but you have to take truma again. You really can't take truma from each other, l'chachila, because one's really chayim d'raisa, one isn't. If you did do that, again, it's a good truma you've created, but you have to do it again. So what's the difference? Why there do you say that truma is created, but in our case, we say that the truma was not a good truma. When you did truma tamea, lo asav lo klum. To answer the Gemara, betray money, tzayis, bechad money, lo tzayis. Says Rashi, there's around 8 lines from the bottom, betray money, tzayis, in 2 different kalim, a person's going to listen. Klomer hasam, kevan dimitray money, when it comes from 2 kalim by the hold pot and the non-hold pot, the perforated pot and not perforated pot, when he tell you to go ahead and take another chuma, mi'idach, from the other one, from the perforated pot, tzayis lecha, the person's going to listen to you. The person's not going to be, oh, wait a second. If I have chuma, they told me what I took was chuma, I don't have to take chuma in a second case. Because again, what happens is I have, let's say, here's the pot without a hole and pot with a hole. I'm taking from the one without a hole to exempt this one. Say, no, what you've created here is chuma, but go ahead and now take from this other pot that has a hole in it. So if a person says this is chuma, if they were told that this is chuma, they're not going to say, oh, I don't need to take chuma from this pot here. People will know there's 2 different pots here. It's okay. They're not going to confuse themselves. Just because this is chuma doesn't mean that this doesn't require chuma. They're going to listen to the chachamim. But, says Rashi, when it comes to avam tamei atar, the tavayu b'chad mana, which is, let's say, a person's house. I have tamei fruits and tar fruits all in the same kli, if you will, the same bias. People are going to say, if you're telling me my chuma, tamei is a chuma, I don't need to take chuma on my tar fruit either. It's all in the same house. They're all together. So if I tell you that's chuma, I'm not going to take chuma on the tar fruits. When it comes to 2 kalim, the person will listen. Wait a second, these are 2 different kalim. Maybe they're right. Just because the pot without a hole has chuma, I create chuma, I still have to go ahead and create chuma on the perforated pot. Okay, so that's all according to Rav Chista, who says that the previous case of the chuma timea, lo asav lo klum, meant I did not create any chuma. But according to Rav Nosson, Rabbi Oshaya, damar lo asav lo klum letakin shirayim, avat shuma have, according to him, who says, no, even by the chuma timea case, we said what you created was chuma. So then these 2 cases are very paralleled. So then the Gemara says, going on to Amud Beis now, so then Maishna, so those 2 cases, when you do something incorrectly, we say that what you've created is chuma, but you have to go back and fix the other stuff, the shirayim. So according to these cases, Maishna meha, why is this different from the following Mishnah, the Tanan? Another Mishnah in, this is, appears in Demai. Min hanokuv al shein nokuv, chumasa chuma. You take from a perforated pot to exempt a non-perforated pot, it's a good chuma. Lo sochal ad sheyoseh chuma u'maiser mimakom acher. But you cannot eat it until you've taken chuma and maiser from another place. Well, which case is this talking about? Uh-huh. So you have to take now another chuma from another nuk of another perforated pot to completely exempt and allow the Kohen to eat from this chuma.
And this old truma is we're trying to connect you to what?
I'm not sure yet. One second here. I'm getting Kashim Adura. What's his question now saying? That, again, the halacha is, if you take truma, you take the truma from the perforated pot to exempt the non-perforated pot, it's a good truma. And you give it to a kohen. But the kohen cannot eat this truma that you just gave him until the farmer goes ahead and takes truma meiser from another perforated pot. And through that, that will permit the Kohen from eating that which he was given initially. Why? So the halacha is, let's see this. So what comes out is, we clearly see that when he took truma from the perforated pot on the non-perforated pot, it wasn't a good truma. It's still considered tevel. So why, by this case here, by the nakav or enu nakav, we require still a further truma to permit the kohen to eat it? The case of truma temea, we gave it straight to the kohen, the truma temea, but we never said you still have to take truma from another place to matter this. So Gemara explains, shaini hacha dimderaisa truma mal yasahi kidirabi alai. Really, because in this case, it's really a good, it's an effective truma.
Nakuv alenu nakuv. This case.
But this case of Nakav, Enok, Nakav, right? No, but Truma Temea. Truma Temea is really a good Truma. What we gave the Kohen was really a good Truma. So we're allowed to give it to him without having to do any further Truma. How do we know it's a good Truma when you take Tamei on Tahar? That we hold like Rabbi Eli, Dama Rabbi Eli, Minayin the Torah, Min Haro, Al Yafet, Truma, So Truma. How do you know if you take Truma, bad Truma, which in this case, Temea, to be Matir, good food, it's good. Dichsiv velo titzu alav chait barimachem eschel b'mimenu. Don't have a sin in your truma, and you're separating from the fat from it. V'mein kiddush yisiyas chait lama. If when a person did something bad, ra'al yafeh, if it wasn't a good truma, so you didn't do any, you didn't accomplish anything, so what avera is there? It can only be an avera if you actually create truma. But if we say, I take tamei, I create truma tamei from tower, I remove the tamei from the tower, if I didn't create anything, so I didn't do anything wrong. It's like just throwing an apple up in the air. Nothing has happened. There's no avera there. It can only be an avera if you actually created something. So the pasuk is telling us, if you did create truma temeya, if you made that truma temeya from the Torah, even though it's bad, it still is effective. So again, im ein kadosh nisiyas chait lama. If there was nothing was created, no truma was created, what's the discussion of a nesias chait? What's the avera if nothing, no ma'isa was accomplished? Mikan l'torim min haral yafeh shu truma shu truma. So from here we see that a person takes truma from the bad part to exempt the good part, it's going to be a good truma. That's the source. That's why when it comes to giving the kohen the truma temea, you don't require any further taking of truma because it's a good truma. As opposed to the nakav versus the eino nakav, one's a truma deraisa, one's a truma derabanan, those do not work with each other. And that's why, by that case, the nakav, you still require a further truma to be taken. So Amar le Rabba, Rabba says, the Rav Chisda, le didach, according to you, damis lo asav lo kulum kolik, or according to you who holds that nothing was accomplished at all, when you take truma temeya, it's ineffective, and it goes back to starting all over. Da'afila ho girya, hadil tivla, everything goes back to tevel. My taima, what was the reason? What's your reasoning? The Dilma, Gzeira, Dilma, Pasha of the Mafresh.
This is the Gzeira. Dilma, Pasha of the Mafresh. Shema Ifsha, Velo Itra, Pamo Sefet, Al Perotori. So, how?
Right, exactly. If you said what was created was Shuma, he might end up never taking on the Tevel that remains.
That's good. Let me give the bad stuff.
So the Gemara says, then wait a second. But if you're saying midrais is a good truma though, because a person can be Torah min hara al yafeh, so me can meet the midrais have a truma. What happens is on a deraisa level, when I take truma temeya from the tahor, it's a good truma. And Rav Chista comes along and says, it's not a good Shuma. Throw everything back into the pile and restart. How could the Chacham come and be okay with the Torah tells me it's Shuma? Chacham could say, no, it's not Shuma. How could they go against the Torah?
No.
We have such a concept of Divrei Sofrim, is like that in terms of Chayim Mis, the Gemara Bracha says, but that's when they create something new. Not to uproot a Torah, they create a new Takanas Chachamim, that's
so
fine.
Meaning, if it's new, so it's not in the Torah, so why are Midivre Torah? It says, I don't know where.
Yeah.
Chamurim divrei sofrim, midivrei Torah.
No, it's more chamur in that we have to take it more seriously because people think, oh, it's just a chamim. So we have to overcompensate and say, no, it's not just a chamim. The Torah gave them the power to create things. But the Torah does not, at this stage, does not give them the power to remove something from the Torah. The Torah tells me X, so they say Y. They can't do that. The Torah says you're not allowed to kill. The chamim can't come and say, oh, you're allowed to kill now. They don't have that right. They could create something new that doesn't go against the Torah. There's a new mitzvah called Chanukah. The new mitzvah called Purim. That they're allowed to do. That doesn't go against the Torah. So how could they come along and say, the Torah says Chuma Tumeya is a good Chuma, even though it's in the Bible? They said, no, it's not. The Chuma Tumeya is no good. Put it back into your pile and start all over again. How could they do that, according to Rav Chisa? That's the Kasha. Are they able to be ochre, uproot something that's mufurish in the Torah? Amalei v'alo tizvara. You hold they can't? I'll bring you cases where they do. They are ochre, davar min haTorah. Hatanan, the Mishnah tells us, Havlad Mamzer Mizeo Mizeo. In this case, back to our Mishnah, that's why we bring it back. We're going full circle now, connecting to our Mishnah Yivamos. Halacha was, if the husband shows up, we say the Vlad, the Mamzer is a Vlad, both from the second husband, and if they stay, remain married from the first husband, that's also any new children are going to be Mamzer as well. So the Gemara analyzes this. Bishlamami Cheni Mamzer, I understand why children from the second marriage is a Mamzer, because she was an Ashishish the whole time. So that means the second marriage was never a marriage, and it's a child out of wedlock. Ela mirishon amai yishahu vishom aliyahu v'kasharinu lebimanzeres. So I understand the from the if she stays married to the first one, even though she's not supposed to, but still it's a she's a his wife, and he's Yisrael, and we're going to say the child's a mamzer, and the child could go ahead and marry mamzeres.
Ma, what's my who mamzeres?
The child, if this, she stays married, remaining married to the first husband.
After he came back from the dead.
So if they're not supposed to stay married, we said, they have to get divorced, but they ignore the Chachamim and they stayed married.
Yeah.
The Mishnah said that their children, their new children, after that moment, they're going to still be mamzer.
Because she did snoot.
No, it wasn't snoot.
With the first one.
But that's not, that one. Won't create, mamzer only comes from if it's a chiyuv misa. For her to stay married to her husband, it's only, it's not only, I won't say only, but it's a love.
She was ish, eshet ish, it's not.
No, ish ish. Is with another man, she's aser to her husband. Aser, not chiv kariso, it's not chiv misa, aser, it's her love. If she stays married, although it's aser, the children will not be mamzerim though.
Okay, so only karets.
So, no karets either. No, mamzer only comes from karets and chiv misa. Yeah. Right. So it's not, the children won't be mamzerim. But our Mishnah says that the children will be mamzerim. So you're going to say the child's a mamzer, and you're going to allow the child to marry mamzeris because there's a mamzer.
Even though the Torah says it's not.
Exactly.
So it's another example.
Exactly. Another example where the Torah Chachamim went against the Torah. The Torah said that the child, the real Yid, the real Yisrael, a real Kasher Yisrael, and you're coming along to say, no, there's a mamzer. You're going against the Torah. Amar Lei, so the response is, Hachi Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says as follows. Also by mamzeris, the child's a mamzer, but he still can't marry mamzeris. So it's not really a mamzer. We don't really view the child as a mamzer. They're not going against the Torah. The chayin so too ki also rabin amar Reb Yochanan also be mamzeris. See, it's the same thing. He's also to mamzeris. It's not really viewed. They're not going against the Torah at all.
So
my karli mamzer. So why do you call a mamzer then? The osula babas Yisrael. So he's stuck. He can't marry Bas Yisrael. No one. He can't marry Bas Yisrael. He can't marry a mamzeris.
So they make him make an avera.
They're just, he's batel, he can't get married, he's batel.
Why, that's first.
Okay. Then the Gemara says, Shalich lei, Rav Chis to the Rabba biyad, Rav Acha by Rav Huna, V'ein based in Masin Lak or Davamina Torah. Is it so true? Or they sent the following halacha. Basin cannot be Oker Davamina Torah. V'hatanya, but I have a brisa that says they can be Oker Davamina Torah, which says what? A man marries a woman under the age of 12. He marries a katana. The father marries his young daughter off to this man. And the young girl dies. So the husband is yorish her. Beishami omrim, at what stage is he able to be Yorisher? Mishitamod bikomasa. When she stands bikomasa, Rashi explains this to mean when she reaches the age of puberty for years, 12, and havaseir, and she is seyar and the shanim. At that point, so she's probably no longer considered katana anymore, but that's the point he's allowed to be Yorisher. Beishila omrim, mishitichanes, luchaba, no. Whenever they get married, whatever age it is, once they get married, he has the ability to be Yorisher. Rabbi Eliezer, Misha Tibal, once they have relations, at whatever age that might be, for Yorisher, he's Yorisher. Mitamela, if he's a Kohen, he can be Mitameter if she dies. V'ochelas Bigino, Chuma, and she can eat in his, I guess, I'm not sure, Gino means Gina, his yard, I guess, his garden.
No, Bigalo, because of him.
Bigino means Bigalo.
Yeah.
She can eat Chuma because of him. So again, Beishame holds when she reaches the age of maturity. Basil says chuppah. Belazar says bia. Now, Beishame omrim mishatamad bekomaso. When she reaches the age of maturity, puberty, avagavdo nichas lachuppah, even though she didn't get married, that obviously doesn't make any sense.
Let me ask you a question. At the time that Hillel and Beit Shammai, that was the only two authority, or there was Rabbi Eliezer as well?
I'm not sure. I think Rabbi Elazar came after them. Actually, no. Hillel and Shammai were earlier. Beisham and Beis Hillel probably coexisted with Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, let's keep going. So, according to Beis Shammai, as long as she reaches a certain age and maturity level, even though they never got married, no, Ema Mishitamur Bekomaso V'tichanesh L'chuppah. Beis Shammai requires two things, that she reaches the age of maturity and they get married. V'hachi Kamri Le Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. And this is what Beis Shammai say to Beis Hillel, D'kamrisa Mishitichanesh L'chuppah, that which Beis Hillel says, but still, all he required was that she get married. Once she gets married, then he's Yorisher. So Beis Shammai said, that which you said, she gets married, it's only i'am de bekomasa, mahani lechuppah. Only if she reaches the age of komasa, does a chuppah allow him to have the abilities to be Yorisher. V'ilo, but if she does not reach the age of komasa, lo, la mahani lechuppah. The chuppah doesn't affect her. You need both things, says Beis Shammai. Comes on Rabbi Eliezer Yomer, Misha Tibal, all he requires is relations. V'hamar Rabbi Elazar, ain maisa katana klum? It's ain't a ma'aser klum, meaning a bia of a katana is meaningless. So the Gemara says, "Ema mishatagdil." So only when she gets older. Hold on a second here.
Ema
mishatagdil v'tibal. When she gets older and she has that there's bia, that's when he's yorisher. Okay, that's the whole discussion about a husband being yorisher is isha katana. But what we want from all this is. Katani Mias, what we see from this, Yorisha, he's the husband being Yorish the wife. V'ho ha'cha de mediraisa v'od Yorish le'i, u'medirabanan Yorish le'i. I understand. Mediraisa, the father, has the full rights to be Yorish's daughter.
But she doesn't have a father. He died.
Says who?
Beginning, that's how it started.
Yeah, not in my Gemara, yeah, that's what it said.
Mei matai adam Yorish dishto ktana she'en la'av ve'siwa ima u'achia, u'achia.
Oh, that's the case. Oh, okay. So the Rashi says, Rashi points out your question, I guess. But if the father married her off, then it'd be a full-fledged marriage. He has the rights to. He was talking about a case where she had no father. So the mother or this brothers married her off, which only works in Midirabanan. There's not a real full-fledged relationship they have there. So therefore, you need these other factors to make the solidify this marriage. So I understand. The Gemara says, the Yorshe the Av, look at Rashi, what do you mean, Midiraisa Avua Yorshe, the father, you had said there's no father anymore. Kolomar, Kroveav, the relatives of the father, Yorshe, are supposed to inherit her. The Nesua Katana Midirbananinu, the Katana can only get married on a Dirbana level. Mishim Shlo Yinaguba Minag Hefker, so no one should treat her like she's a Yisoma and take advantage of her. Aval Torah, jumping to the next line of Rashi, Aval Torah, Lo Zichta Lakadish Zabash, Lo Imav Lo Lachiva, no one has the rights to do this. So Midiraisa, it's not a good marriage. Midiraisa, she's single, and her family is supposed to be Yorisher. But Midirabanan, they could say that the husband's going to be Yorisher. They're being Okadav Min HaTorah. Gemara says, Hefker based in Hefker. No, the Chum have the ability to be Mafker property. Hefker based in Hefker. They could say, your property is now Hefker, and now it's going to go redirected to the husband. That we do know, they have the ability to, in terms of Dinei Mamonis, to do such things. Rabbi Yitzchak tells us that Minayin she Hefker based in Hefker. What's the source that the Chum can be mafkir anything they want, make anything mum and any mum and Hefker? Shenema, the pasuk says, "Kol asher lo yavol shoshi yamim ba'atas hasarim ba'zakenim yicharim kol rechushav huyavdu mekal hagol." Anybody does not come over the next 3 days at the advice of the ministers and the elders, all their rechushim, all their nechasim should be chayrim, should be completely hefker. That's the source. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Mahachi brings another raya. The following are the properties that these individuals had been inherited. Rashi Avos Limitos Bnei Yisrael. So the Gemara says, V'chima inin Rashim Eitel Avos. Why are we calling Rashi Avos? What do you mean Rashi HaAvos? Very strange phrase. Ma Avos Manchil B'neim. Just like the fathers are being manchil, they give off the property to their children, B'neim. Kol Mashir, to whatever they want. Af Rashim Manchil Mas'am. Also the Rashim, the heads, namely the Dayanim, had the ability to be manchil to whomever they want. Kol Mashir to. Okay, so that's what we see from this discussion here. That yes, in this case, normally Chaman cannot be Oker Davar Min HaTorah, but in the case of Mamonus, they can vis-a-vis the mechanism of Hefker based in Hefker. Let's go a little bit further, I guess. We still have a few minutes. Umitamila. So we also said that the Kohen, if he marries her, he's allowed to be Mitame her. Midraisa, only the father and the Krovei Av are allowed to be Mitame her if they're Kohanim. But the husband is not allowed to be mitame her. They're only married on the derbanan level. How can we say midiraisa? It's us, sir, for you
what
to
be.
The husband mentioned before, Rabbi Elazar, that if she dies, he's allowed to, if he's a kohen, he can be mitame her. A kohen can only be mitame tumas kohanim for the 7 closest relatives, one of them being his wife. Now midiraisa, she's not married to him because the father died. This is another discussion we mentioned before where they are oker davar min haTorah.
Okay.
Min haTorah, he cannot be mitame her because they're not married on the deraisa level. But we're paskening that midirbanon, we let him be mitameter. Does it make any sense? How could the chum come along and say this? That the baal could be mitameter, midiraisa he can't. Mishum dehavile meis mitzvah. This is a meis mitzvah. Meis mitzvah is something that doesn't have anyone to bury her, so she's a meis mitzvah. Right? It says, we have a meis mitzvah. This is not a meis mitzvah. A meis mitzvah is the following. V'atanya is a meis mitzvah, kol she'en lo kovrim, anyone who has no one to bury. So if you call out and you're Kohen, you see a mace on the ground somewhere, you call out to the city, come bury, and the people come, and it's a mace mitzvah. Hachanami came, so here too also, before we get to the answer, so what's a mace mitzvah? There are plenty of people to bury her. She's a whole family to bury her. Why are we saying that Kohen has to marry her because it's a mace mitzvah? Whoever's ever talking about a case where she died in the Midbar, no one else is around. They live in the city. So Gemara says, Hachanami came into Yarsila, Kari Levela Anilai. Fascinating. Since they're not getting any money, I'm not going to be yorish my daughter. She's not giving me any money. I'm not going to be yorish my sister. She's not giving me any money. I'm stepping out of this situation. Since the husband is the only one who's being yorisher, he's the only one who's willing to marry her. Fascinating idea.
Nice family.
Nice family, right. Okay, so maybe let's stop here. That's a good stopping point. And Mir Tashem, tomorrow we'll pick up on the top.